You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I am so excited and honored for one of our repeat guests, John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, Entrepreneur on Fire. So it's an amazing to have you back on the show, not just via Skype, but in person this time. Yeah. So welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah. It's been 2 years now since we talked last. So a lot has happened in my business. I know a lot's happened in your business.
For sure.
So I'm excited to just kind of have a nice conversation and see what comes up.
Yeah, today we're just going to flow. We're going to... Nothing really set, no path that we want to look for. We want to just uncover those, what John's been doing, what different things that's made him and transformed and take and elevated his success to the next level. So I'm really excited to see what we can dig into and uncover for sure.
Fired up.
Fired up, EO Fire. So kind of maybe bring us what has happened, because I think the last time we talked, a few months later, you were launching the journal and everything. So kind of maybe take us through where that, in about 5 minutes or less, you know, where you've gone from and to where you are today. And then we can really start to pick apart what those success pieces have been for you.
Yeah, so last time we talked was, again, over 2 years ago. I was just about to launch the Freedom Journal,
which is my
first journal. It was my first physical product, so I was kind of taking a leap of faith. Like, I didn't know, do people even want physical products? They just want virtual. And, you know, it's a huge kind of question mark. But, you know, and this is something we'll get into more later when we talk about funnels, but you have to have the conversations with your audience. You have to ask them, what are you struggling with? What are your obstacles? What are your challenges? And having those conversations made me realize that my audience did need a physical product, something that was there that would remind them they needed to do X, Y, and Z on a daily basis. You know, you can just take something virtual, put it into a folder, gets lost in your computer.
Right.
But that, you know, this Freedom Journal, it was big. It's like, you know, 3 pounds.
It was nice.
I mean, it's leather, it's gold embossed. Like, you invest in it, you get something real, and you're like, I'm going to make this investment worthwhile. So we went that way. And the audience definitely responded. You know, we actually became the third most funded publishing campaign of all time on Kickstarter. We did $453,000 in just 33 days.
That's awesome.
And that's for a $39 journal. So do the math. You know, we sold over 9,000 physical journals just over that month. And it was, again, it was for accommodating your number one goal in 100 days. And so that was the goal. That was the process. And you know, since then, you know, we've now sold over 30,000 of them because it just continues to just sell as we have it up on Amazon and our Shopify store. So it's kind of just like the journal that just keeps on giving, both to us and to
the people.
We have people right now, Josh, on their 7th journal because it's a 100-day journal.
So
and they're like, I don't want to live a life without this 100-day process going
through.
That's
super cool.
Yeah.
And so, and one of the things you had mentioned too is the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You know, I've looked at Kickstarter and I've seen some different successful Kickstarter campaigns and then some that just don't do anything. Mm. You know, what, I guess, kind of maybe take us through a process here with how you were able to just generate that amount of revenue and that amount of sales on Kickstarter. I mean, obviously, I know you guys worked with some affiliates and stuff like that, but how were you able to really generate that and get that on Kickstarter?
I think a mistake a lot of people do when they first start and they decide to have a project like Kickstarter, they say, well, of course I'll go to Kickstarter because they have a huge audience and this huge platform, and, you know, they'll bring me the buyers, they'll bring me the audience. That doesn't happen. I mean, there's official studies, Kickstarter will even tell you this, like 3-4% maybe of your overall buys and purchases and funding will come from Kickstarter.
Wow.
So before you go down this path, you need to do something that everybody should be doing that's looking to be an online entrepreneur, an influencer, an authority figure, whatever that might be. Build an audience. So for me, I had been building an audience for over 3 years with daily interviews of inspiring entrepreneurs for my audience, Fire Nation, having conversations with them. Again, asking them what they were struggling with, what they needed, listening. They told me what they needed. They were struggling with goals, how to set them, how to accomplish them. And I just created the exact solution that they were struggling with. And then I didn't go to Kickstarter and say, hey, sell this for me.
Right.
I put it on Kickstarter as the platform, as the vehicle.
Okay.
But then I said, Fire Nation, you wanted it. Here it is. Here's the different levels you can have. A, you know, a digital, a physical product, you know, one physical or, you know, bulk them up like 2, 4, 10.
Sure.
And then I also did some really cool inventive things, which I liked with Kickstarter was, you know, I did a day with JLD. So for $10,000, you could buy a day with me where we would just go over your business.
Sure.
And, you know, so I was selling those. So I was able to get really inventive
with
that
cool.
overall process.
Right. And that's really cool. And, you know, like you said, you have to, it's not, and it's just like Amazon, it, you know, you have to bring the right product to Amazon. They have, there's an audience there. But
yeah.
if you just go shove a product there and the audience doesn't want it, they're not going to buy it. So you you know, you can't just create the audience. So you have to take a product that the audience is already interested in and looking for. And that's the way that Amazon was explained to me. And when we changed that approach, sales went way up.
Well, to that point, I've now launched two journals. So I followed up with a mastery journal and I put both onto Amazon.
Okay.
And because I was able to personally drive traffic to Amazon,
right.
the sales were really high. The ratings and reviews are really high on both of those. So what happens now when someone goes to Amazon and types in journal, I'm one of the first results.
Up.
And guess
right.
what? Both of those journals have the Amazon's Choice badge.
Ah, nice.
None of that would have happened if I didn't come with an audience already
Correct.
On Amazon
yes.
to give it that initial momentum. So now people that are outside of my sphere are finding the journals, but I had to get them to a place where had the reviews, it had the ranking, it, you
right.
know, it had the SEO all on Amazon. So, you know, if you're coming from nowhere, you have no audience, you put something on Amazon, it's just going to get buried.
Right,
so
for sure.
You have to start again, and going back to the theme of this, like, where's your audience coming from? How are you building your audience? You've done it, your wife's done it. I mean, there's just countless examples of how people build audiences. That's the first step.
And so I guess one, you know, key thing as you mentioned, as you, you know, you were asking your audience, you were trying to figure out, hey, you know, what is that challenge? What are you, you know, what are you looking for? And then, you know, to create the journal, did you do that through surveys? What did you, what was the best method that you found to really engage them in it and then get those responses?
Surveys is a great method.
Okay.
But the best method, some people shy away from because it's time intensive.
Right.
It's a lot of effort. It takes a lot of energy. It's called one-on-one communications.
Mm.
I literally would get an email from somebody to say, John, said, John, I love your podcast. I've been listening for the last 100 episodes. I'd respond back and say, can we jump on a quick 5-minute Skype call?
Sure.
And I'd get on that call with them. And I would say, how'd you find out about me, by the way? Priceless information.
Right.
I would
yeah.
get to know where people were hearing about my podcast that loved it and were listening to it.
Mm.
I could then go amplify those things that were
right,
working,
that they were
pour
working.
Some fluid on that, you know, some igniter fluid. And then I could also ask them the question, you know, what are you struggling with right now? Going back to that core piece
right.
of that core question of what their struggles and obstacles are, that can guide me towards that solution. And by the way, I was also hearing, I should say not hearing, how people were finding me a lot. Like they just weren't saying this way that I thought. I'm like, everybody's going to find me in this way.
Right.
Nobody was saying it. And I'm like, I can stop spending all this time and energy
in that one area.
In that one area, take it back and use it somewhere else because I had
good.
Those conversations.
Yeah.
So
right.
one-on-one conversations are not scalable. It's one-on-one, but guess what? The knowledge you learn from those conversations
sure.
is scalable.
Well, what I think that you said that was important is you would get that email in from the people and then engage them.
Already fans.
It wasn't like, hey, you know, come talk to me
right.
kind of a thing. And
already listeners.
Wasted the time.
Already
yeah.
complimenting me. Like already, you know, getting to that really know, like, trust area. Let's yank them in now.
Mm, yeah. And I think that's important because we don't want, you know, you don't want to be like spinning your wheels, heading, trying to get that information
mm.
by trying to just gather up as many people as possible to figure it out. It's more targeted and like, hey, we want to, you know, you're emailing in, let me engage you right now because
like,
you're interested in something.
That's the perfect
right.
target right there. Boom.
For sure. Cool. And so, you know, with this and then, you know, launching on Kickstarter, you have another journal that you said come out, that had come out. And along, you know, obviously you've had to create funnels to be able to engage people to get your information in front with your offer and everything else. And you kind of have like, you know, like we were talking is, you know, you're kind of your funnel down and your bottom part of the funnel, but then you also have that top part of the funnel. How are those people getting there? How are they finding out about it? And then getting, you know, participating in it.
Yeah, so coming up to my 6th year with Entrepreneurs on Fire, almost 2,000 episodes now,
that's awesome.
You know, like over 1.3 million listens, I've been able to use my podcast as a platform to build multiple million-dollar funnels. And so like looking back, thinking like, how did I do that?
Right.
I realize what a lot of people did wrong, or I should say do wrong, and by the way, what I've done wrong in the past is they just do the traditional funnel, which is it's a straight across and then it's a straight down.
Sure.
You're just qualifying people to an offer, to a sale potentially. But the problem is where are these people coming from? Like, who are these people? Like, do they even know you? Like, how and why are they going to even go down this funnel? So you have to flip it on its head and say, how am I going to first funnel up by building the audience the right way, so that then when you flip it and you're going to go now that next second step, first step, funnel up, second step, flip it, now you funnel down. That top part of the funnel is now people who know, like, and trust you. They've consumed your content. Maybe you've talked to some of them. You've been adding value to them in all these different ways. Now they're willing to go down this very obvious funnel down.
Sure.
And a certain percentage of them will become, you know, evangelists, clients, customers, because you've built that initial top part of the funnel the right way. It's not just running Facebook ads to an offer and then getting people into it. I mean, that's going to work for a very small percentage of people, but if you really want a funnel that's working at a high level, high percentage, this makes sense for you, ROI-wise, return on investment, you've got to build the funnel up way first.
Cool, so, you know, so maybe some people in the audience will be like, what's he talking about? How do you build a funnel? Can you tell me? So what would be the first couple things you'd say, okay, cool, here's what you need to go do, here's what, you know, here's the second thing, and kind of the process that you went through that worked.
You got to stand for something. Like, you've got to be an authority. You've got to be an influencer. I mean, that's one reason why your wife's had so much success with what she's done, is because she stands for something. She's known for something. Like, she is, you know, that that person that people know, like, and trust and admire. You know, so the really top part of that funnel as you kind of go down and go out is, like, you've got to come up with the idea that you're passionate about, that you're curious about, but that you also are adding value in, that you have skills you've acquired over the years, and how can you combine those two things so you're excited and passionate, but you're also adding value and you have skills in it. Like, that's your idea. Then you move down into, like, how do I niche? How do I niche that into something that's unique? Like, you know, you're not, your wife's not just doing, you know, food for everybody. It's like, you know, organic, primal, like all this stuff. Like,
and then paleo all the way down to there. Yeah,
boom,
skincare,
niching
it's
down,
like, all
into
the way down.
That. So
right.
Like, now she's speaking to a very specific sector of audience. And then you come up with an avatar. Like, who's the perfect person for this? So you have thousands and thousands of clients, but of all of them, who's that perfect one? Like, you can just identify that one perfect client. What that allows you to do is, every time you have a question about direction to take your business, that person tells you. You know, it's not an individual. You've created that avatar, but you just go, like, what would, you know, so-and-so want? What would they do? What would they need? And boom, that's your answer going off the races. So you're building that down. And then you start your content creation for them. You know, via Facebook, you know, via podcasting, you know, Instagram. Like, what are the main ways that your wife grows her audience right now?
A lot of it's through video content. So
she started with the idea, the niche, got her avatar down, started creating video content.
Sure.
Now but she couldn't do that until she got the other ones
the rest
up
of it,
straight.
Yeah.
And then started building an audience through that, started repurposing that content through other means, I'm sure. And then she continued to build that out. So now she's engaging with that audience, you know, I'm sure in Facebook groups and online and maybe in one-on-one conversations, asking them what they're struggling with. And now she's able to provide the solution for them and flip it on its head. Now she has this whole host of people who have gone down this funnel, the funnel up, to actually get to that point, who know, like, and trust her, who she's created the perfect solution for them, and then bringing it down to the bottom like that.
Definitely. No, that makes sense, because, I mean, we do shoot a ton of video. She rolled out her own podcast called The Healthy Me, so it's all focused on, you know, health and how to transform, you know, and bringing on people that can provide, you know, healthy, like, what to do, whether it's nutrition or fitness or whatever, you know, some realm of in the health space, and, you know, how they can that's another means of media, you know, along with her own video content and teaching and value creation, like you said, and then, you know, being able to bring that down for sure. So cool. Well, and then, so you're out there pushing out that free value content, you know, through the different areas, and then those people are continuously seeing and consuming that free value content. So then when they actually get to hear and say, okay, cool, there's that offer or that opportunity.
Yeah.
Then it's not really then a cold audience anymore.
You've been delivering them free, valuable, consistent content for a long time. You engage with them. You know what they want because you've had the conversations. You're giving them exactly the solution that they want. I mean, you put in the time, the energy, the effort. Like, they're part of your community now. And then you just say, this isn't going to be for everybody, but certain ones of you are going to want to take it to the next level, are going to want to join my premium coaching or my premium community, or buy my book, or do X, or do Y, or do Z. It was pretty interesting, Josh, to kind of mention off to the side, like, a lot of people that are listening might say, I want to maybe start a funnel quickly or soon because I see the value in doing all this stuff.
For sure.
But you know, and maybe I have an audience, but I don't have like this built out course. I don't have like these, you know, skincare products like ready. Like that all takes time.
Yeah.
So guess what? Maybe you do all these things, but then you're an affiliate at the, your offer's an affiliate offer. So like one of my offers, so one of my like funnels, I have again, 8 fully functioning funnels. One of them is getting people down this funnel where then they take a free funnel course, where it's just a course on how to create a great funnel.
Okay.
But then at the end of the 3-day course that's free, I say, I use ClickFunnels to do my funnels. If you want to try them as well, try them, click this link to try them for free for 30 days. And of course, that's going to be a very high uptake because it's a free 30-day
trial
offer. And then a certain percentage of those people are going to stay. Those are the people that I become affiliated with. And that funnel alone, in just a year and like 9 months so far, has done over $735,000 for me.
Wow.
And guess what? These aren't my clients.
Right.
You know, I'm giving them to a great company.
Correct, yeah.
So like my relationship ends with them. Like I'm still wishing them the best, of course.
Right.
But like I'm not taking on like their like questions about how do I use ClickFunnels and this.
How do I
like,
build from
I've
here
already,
out? Yeah.
I've done it.
Mm. And then so you're giving away a funnel course to lead them through that process.
Yeah.
And then at the end, like, hey guys, here's what you do, here's what I love, and here's what I use. And then they already trust you at that point.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I'm going to try this for free for 30
days.
And so
if people are looking to start now, like to
right.
start to create a funnel and want to see how their audience that they already have is
sure.
engaging, maybe you don't start with your own course. It doesn't have to be, or your own product, or your own service. It can be somebody else's that you're affiliated with.
Okay. And so, I mean, it could almost even be where you kind of take it and say, you sit down with somebody and
interview them
on how to create a best funnel.
<Cha-ching>.
And then you and then you put the same offer. You want to go to Josh's ClickFunnels affiliate.
Yeah, which is right there. You don't want to go to Josh's.
And so, but no, I mean, that's a good way for somebody if they didn't have maybe the same skills or resources or products like you mentioned and everything to be able to, hey, you know, let me interview you and go through that process. And you know, take it and offer its free value content and then take people down that same path.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Awesome. So, okay, so along your journey, and you're in Puerto Rico, so you lost your house for a little while.
Yeah, you know, the house wasn't like lost as far as it completely just blew away, but did have some legitimate damage to the roof and some of the windows blew in, so it was uninhabitable for a couple, well, I'd say a couple months. But I will say, you know, now we've weathered the storm and I'm still in Puerto Rico. House is back up and running 100%. But it took a while.
Wait, and you know, but along this whole journey though, I mean, you know, I know when we initially talked, you guys had a couple people on your, you know, I think it was just you and your wife or maybe one other person. But now you guys have a team of like 9 people,
Nine people.
And are they all local where you live in Puerto Rico? Are they all virtual? Like, how did you set this up?
So we're all virtual.
Okay.
Besides myself and Kate, you know, who work out of our home and down in Puerto Rico. But then we have some virtual assistants who are like kind of full-time on the payroll where they work 40 hours per week full-time for us. We have 3 based in the Philippines, 1 based in Pakistan. And then we went the independent contractor route for some of the other things.
Okay.
You know, we wanted to go really high level. So we have like a designer who's in Brooklyn and she's, you know, amazing. We have her on retainer, you know, 40 hours per month.
That's cool.
We have a web developer from Oregon and like, so he's just the guy that like codes websites and like if anything goes wrong, like he's a web guy.
Nice.
He's on for 20 hours per month. And we just brought on a CTO. So our CTO is there and she's like overlooking everything, like making sure that our pages are converting, the analytics, doing the ads and this and the that, kind of, you know, being really the technical brains and the analytical brains behind the business so that I can kind of like take that off of my plate and say, what's the next big thing? The next big thing.
Sure.
Like not like, how can I make this better right now? Like that can be her. Now I can say, what's going to make us bigger, better, you know, more revenue, you know, next year. And I can think of the big picture. So that's why we built that team out that way to really take, you know, time back, take energy back, take bandwidth back so that I can enjoy life, enjoy Puerto Rico,
come to
conferences like this.
Yeah.
I just presented at Traffic and Conversion, you know, and had a great time doing that. I'm going to be speaking at Social Media Marketing World in just a couple
Super
of days.
Cool.
I'm going to chat with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, do these type of things, which I'm not just stuck down in my office in Puerto Rico like, oh my God, which page is more optimized by 4.5%.
Right.
Like that needs to be done, but I don't have to be doing that. Somebody has to do that, but it doesn't have to be May.
So for, you know, a lot of people out there, what would you say your one biggest challenge creating your team is? Because, I mean, we're always hiring. We're at 25 people, and we always just, you know, I mean, we always have challenges with stuff. And, you know, what would you say your biggest challenge has been building that team out right now?
Firing too slow. I think that's a lot of people have that problem. Yeah. Like, you know. Oh, you know if the person is just not the right fit. And this is the this is the reality is you're not doing them any good either. Like, you're definitely not doing yourself good because they're not the right position for you, and so you're underperforming there, and you're definitely not doing them any help either because they're underperforming, and they potentially could go perform or overperform somewhere else because you obviously saw something in them if you hired them.
Right.
So there's hope for these people, but it's just not with you.
Right. And so what would you start doing now? You hire, if you know you're cutting them loose right away?
Yeah, you know, you can't, there's no such thing as a perfect hiring process because everybody puts their best foot forward. Everybody looks like a 10. Just like, you know, if I was to look at like your life on Instagram, I would be like, he's never had a bad day in his life. Right. And the same for you and me. It's just like, but, you know, the reality is nobody's perfect. Once, you know, the interview is down and the hiring process is taking place and a couple months go by, you know.
Find out the real deal.
You know, and then make a decision.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I knew that was one of the things too is, I mean, we take them through a hiring process, but if we feel that and we feel like they're the right fit, we've been hiring, you know, cool, let's get them in.
Yeah.
And just figure, you got to find out. Mm-hmm. And then if not, I mean, but we've had that same challenge. It's like, you know. And I mean, I say something like, hey, I don't think this person's, they're just not a very good fit. And they just keep kind of sitting there and waiting.
You're there.
I know. And then finally it's like, oh, yeah, they got to go. or they just go.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. It's way better now.
It's called on-the-job training. Like, I was an Army officer for 8 years.
Right.
Like, we could have sat in a classroom and, like, learned how to drive a tank the whole time. But then there's, like, there's a tank, get in the hatch, start driving. And I was running over trees and doing this.
Just don't do houses, run over houses.
Yeah, try not to run over houses. But guess what? Like, I learned how to do it. And some people failed and some people succeeded. And you learn quickly on the job. And those people that just failed, they then were pulled from that and put into another opportunity. And that's how you do it with your world. Put them into your fire of your business.
Yep.
See if they can make it through.
Awesome. I know we only got a few minutes left. I guess find out where can we go get more information about you, EO Fire. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, real simple, eofire.com.
Okay.
We have a lot of free courses. So, you know, we have a free podcasting course, free course on funnels, which we mentioned. You'll come into my next funnel sequence. You'll become my ClickFunnels affiliate, not his. webinar, we have a free webinar course. So I'm just big on over-delivering incredibly free value to my audience.
Sure.
So every day people are going to eofire.com, signing up for these free courses, getting a lot of value, and then they're just going off and leading better lives because they've learned a lot. But some of them are also going further down my funnels and becoming clients, customers, evangelists, you know, putting money back into our pockets. So it's that whole cycle. So, you know, we pride ourselves, eofire.com, a lot of great free value.
Awesome. And then maybe one last thing is, I was just thinking about it, is because I don't see a ton of like Facebook marketing or a lot of different stuff from you guys. I mean, how do you guys drive traffic to what you do?
So it's really Entrepreneurs on Fire, the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, that's our main heartbeat. That's the podcast. 1.3 million listens per month. I mean, it's a big show, 145 countries, and we just continue to interview great people. And just it just is a great top part of our funnel to bring in new listeners, new subscribers. And then, you know, we're very strategic. At the beginning and the end of our show, I'm giving a call to action. Mm. If you want a podcast, free podcast course. If you want a funnels, funnel on fire. If you want to do this, do that. You know, it's like, it's not in your face, like the main interviews.
Right.
I mean, the main part of the show are the interviews, and that's the focus. But, you know, there's a little CTA here, a little CTA there, sandwiched in, and then boom, off to the races.
And then they're coming. And then people are just finding you through SEO and search, kind of for the EO Fire. Is that where
a lot of SEO, a lot of search, a lot of those guests that I have on my show sharing with their audience.
With their audiences, too.
It's a daily show, so that's happening, you know, 30
times
a month.
You're rocking it out every day.
Kind of adds up a little bit.
That's for sure. Well, cool. Well, I mean, it was an honor to have you back on the show today. I know we got some awesome insights and really good information that, you know, you guys can take action with. I hope you were taking notes. If not, go back and rewind, whether it's video, whether it's listening. You can. You might want to slow it down, not 2 times this interview.
Yeah, I talk pretty fast.
Because we want you to get all the information. So, again, thank you for coming back on Making Bank. It was an honor to have you here.
Making Bank.
Appreciate it, my friend.
Dude.
Awesome. I'm Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.